This is a Triple J podcast.
Apps don't make a profit if you find the love of your life. And the way they make a profit and money is by, you know, keeping you engaged.
Hello, hello. Dee Salmon with you and ready to chat all things love, sex, dating and relationships for the Hookup podcast. And a stat that Pip and I talk a lot on the Hookup, you've probably heard us say it quite a bit, is that time that 93% of you told us on our Instagram at Triple J The Hookup that you're having a shitty time using dating apps. You're over it. You're hating the apps. And we know that dating app burnout is a huge part of this. And research backs this. A 2024 Forbes survey found that nearly 80% of daters felt emotionally, physically, or mentally exhausted by the apps, at least some of the time. And there's been a lot of articles and reports coming out recently saying that dating apps are kind of on the way out. They're actually dying. Bumble and other dating sites have really struggled in the past couple of years. It reported a 14% drop in total revenue and a 21% decline in paying users for the first quarter of this year compared to the same time last year. And we know that Hinge as well has reported, and Tinder, massive significant declines. According to a Forbes Health survey, 79% of Gen Z users reported dating app fatigue. And a 2025 study found that 77% of Gen Z adults in relationships met their partner in person and not actually through an app. So now this is something that apparently Bumble are trying to fix. So Bumble's founder, Whitney Wolf Heard, told Fortune that apps are rooted in rejection and judgment and that these are actually not healthy dynamics. So basically their answer is they're going to be testing an AI assistant called Bee that's basically aimed at understanding things like users' values and relationship goals. So not a lot of details have actually been shared about how this will work, but basically Whitney has said that users will still be able to write their own bios and profile details, but AI will be operating in the background. So what the hell is going on? Is AI the future of dating apps? Should we be worried? What are the privacy and data implications? Is this going to make dating even more of a low effort culture? We're going to explore that all now with Dr. Raphael Chiarello. He's a senior lecturer at the University of Sydney, a scholar of compassionate digital innovation, and his research examines ethical dilemmas in socio-technical change, focusing on AI companions, decentralized platforms, and public digital infrastructures. So absolutely the most qualified person to talk about this today. Dr. Raph, thank you so much for coming on the Hookup.
Thanks so much for this awesome introduction. I'm really excited to be here.
So what was your initial reaction to this news, Raph?
So it was actually funny because I was just discussing it a few days earlier with my PhD students, Sarah Rubinstein and Angelina Chen. And my first reaction to this was actually to call it a catfisher's paradise. And then my student said, hey, it's actually a chatfisher's paradise, right? So that's kind of like what this is. Imagine you could use this technology to have millions of dates digitally at once, and you could just fish in the ocean of singles or people on dating platforms with much greater precision. And, you know, if you're someone who's into scamming people, catfishing, betraying them, or just exploiting them, or just kind of generally being a bad person, well, you will find a lot of creative ways to exploit the system. Now, I'm sure, or at least hopeful, that Bumble and the likes will have people working on this, right? So you can kind of come up with security filters, but it's always an arms race. So there's always people who will figure out more innovative ways of gaming that, and that will just be part of that conversation. So a lot of people in that tech space seem to have the idea that, you know, let's just throw some AI at it. It's going to make everything better. And the idea is, in the long term, to move to a model where you basically, you know, give some info to your AI dating assistant or a digital clone of yourself, and then have that digital concierge check out other people's digital concierge and see if they match. And so all you have to do is you put up a little bit of information in there, and then that AI gives you potential matches. So from that point of view, my reaction was, you know, I mean, it's curious, it's kind of like predictable, right? We kind of knew something like this would be happening. It's still just weird to see how, you know, this is all developing. And I'm excited to talk about this because there are probably some benefits, but also a lot of concerns.
Yeah, I love that. Let's chat about that. Like I said, so many people have dating app fatigue. The research shows that. We know there's a huge decline in profit. Do you think this will save dating apps?
I do want to acknowledge some benefits, right? So, I mean, if carefully designed, this could potentially lead to, more tailored, better dating experiences. I do think that there might be a positive use case for, people that face certain accessibility barriers like social anxiety, neurodivergence, or, historically marginalized groups that haven't done so well on dating apps. That could potentially increase inclusion. I do want to be a little bit optimistic. I do want to also say that that's not usually how these things develop, right? But there is the potential for that, at least. And potentially also from a safety perspective, it might actually be good because, you could introduce some filters and the AI could detect, predatory behavior, or it could protect young people, especially, minors and so on from exploitation, which is, of course, all of these are good things. Now, I have a lot more to say about the concerns.
Yeah, let's chat about that.
To me, this looks like the typical platform dynamics, which some people have termed, excuse the language, and shitification, right? So this is the typical dynamic where you roll out the platform. At first, it's kind of free, it's new, everybody is excited about it, you put a lot of data in it, and then you lock people in, and then you make things more expensive, and then you make things more extractive, because the users are actually your customer, and are not your customer, they are your product, right? So I think this is what's happening with Bumble. So I think from a profit perspective, they're probably doing all right. It's not like the market is going to go away. There's still a lot of people who are finding love online. I just think that the experience is getting worse, right? So more profit, but not necessarily better outcomes for society is what we're seeing. And let's be honest, it's not likely that, solving a problem that was caused by technology is going to be made any better by throwing more technology at it. Another aspect is, of course, the commodification of intimacy, right? So you can always go back on another date and go back on the dating app and start from scratch. That's part of the business model, right? So these apps don't make a profit if you find the love of your life, because then you don't come back. And the way they make a profit and money is by, keeping you engaged. And of course, when you put AI into this, there is a real risk that the optimization is again for high intensity, high engagement, low friction. And all of these are things that are, I think, on a fundamental level, incompatible with finding a meaningful relationship. Right? Now you can say, well, that's not what I'm searching for on a dating app. I'm more into hookups and one night stands, and that can be okay for a while. But on an aggregate level, it has been quite damaging for society. So I think a lot of younger people, I'm kind of like that typical middle-aged guy now, but like, and my students and my PhD students and even the undergrad students, I sense that there's a lot of fatigue around how dating, what has become of dating. And I always tell them, hey, I'm really glad that I'm old enough to have met my wife before dating apps became a thing, right? So I was kind of lucky enough to have found my love of my life just before that happened. Now I think with AI, we're going to see a lot of change, but it's not necessarily going to be better, right? So for one thing, this commodification of intimacy is already something I talked about. With AI, you could be cynical about this and say, hey, why don't we automate the whole process entirely, right? Rather than just having an AI wingman, why not digitalize the whole relationship, right? Have an AI marriage, have AI kids, go to AI couples therapy. It becomes a bit bizarre, but that is actually for a lot of people already the reality, right? And so I think it's really an opportune time for us to ask, what do we really want from a relationship? And how do we get there?
Yeah, I'm really keen to chat more about like the fact that, AI, they're saying that AI will help like optimize profiles and messages and matches. But does dating have to be more artificial? Because something that we talk a lot about on the hookup is like attraction is actually something that's unconscious that we figure out face to face. So yeah, what are your thoughts about how this will potentially make dating even more digital?
Of course, it already pre-AI has taken away a lot of the messiness, a lot of the intuition that is part of, meeting someone, experiencing their voice, their smell, how they behave themselves, how you know, their teeth are looking, how and so on, right? So all of this is not part of the dating experience. And I think that's what people are getting fatigued about. But it's clear that because, you know, according to some statistics, it's still like more than half, the majority of people, the majority of couples have found their partner online now. Even that was unthinkable half, you know, half a decade ago. So it's kind of like paradoxical in the sense that a lot of people are turning to these apps. At the same time, they're getting fatigued from it. I think part of the problem is just that relationships are complicated, right? It's not something that you can easily automate, right? And that has been true since the dawn of time, right? Relationships are messy. Humans can be difficult. It's sometimes it's the most frustrating thing you can experience. It's also the most exhilarating thing you can experience, right? So, you know, digital technologies can kind of help in, you know, figuring out what you might like and who might be a match and connecting people, but it doesn't automate the process. From that perspective, I think the idea of having AI-assisted matchmaking or even an AI dating assistant is fundamentally flawed. At the very least, it's risky, right? So I think there's a lot of potential for dark sides and negative consequences that could arise without necessarily foreseeing them.
Yeah, for sure. Well, one thing that people are talking about more is the gamification of dating apps and how they are, you know, something that's can be quite similar. An interview we did with an expert in this space was liking it to pokies, like the way that your brain swipes constantly is the dopamine hit is quite similar to gambling. Do you think that it will help relieve that or lead to a new form of gaming in a sense?
That's speculative. I would say because of what we've seen in our research on AI companions, it's probably going to be different than that, right? So it's not like, I mean, the swiping and the, you know, the dopamine kick you get from a match and, you know, there's a lot of people on dating apps that are just there for the matches and not actually talking to anyone, right? Just there to kind of like get that dopamine kick. That's very similar to swiping through reels on social media. With AI, it's a bit different because you do have to engage somehow. You do have to kind of give it some information and talk to it. And with, you know, AI companionship, when people are forming relationships with their ChatGPT or like their character AIs and so on, that is more like the dopamine kick comes from feeling understood, right? So it's like, oh, there's this digital being there that listens to me and that figures out what I want and then mirrors that aspect of my personality back to me. And that can be exhilarating as well. I think in the context of a dating app, it's probably going to be more like that. But in a sense, you know, it's a little bit like with that wingman dynamic, right? So you have your digital wingman or wingwoman or wing being, and then that goes out and finds you potential matches. And that could be like multiple dopamine hits at once, right? Because I imagine it like, okay, the app comes back to you and then gives you a list of people or introduces you maybe one after the other to potential matches. And then you just go ahead and you try to maximize for that, right? So like, I don't know, maybe it's a little bit of a male bias here, but I imagine that some people could go in there and say, hey, you know, give me a dozen dates, right? At once, right? And so that is probably a dynamic that could be playing out in there. So it's a bit speculative. I can't exactly say how it's going to happen, but that's how I imagine it.
Right? Yeah. We know that AI learns from our behavior too as well. So what do you think this will mean for like racial biases and beauty standards? Or like you were saying, like people saying, go out and find me this type of person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, excellent point. Like, I think it's actually two-sided. Like, first, you as the one who initiates this, you're also running the risk that the AI might misunderstand you because the AI, it's ultimately the way how these systems work. They're trained on historical data, which always only works for a very narrow slice of the population, typically, you know, white men or white rich people in the West, right? So if you're not in that demographic, you're already facing the first hurdle because the AI might not actually act in your best interest because it's trained on the wrong data. Because it then goes out and does something based on the information you gave it and just kind of like based on the statistical patterns, gives that information to other people. And then, of course, in the selection process, it might also be biased and say, hey, oh, that person has the wrong gender, ethnicity, or name, or appearance, that's not exactly the right match, right? The thing with that is it's probably going to mirror existing biases that we have. We know from, you know, dating research that, you know, people tend to prefer mates of a similar demographic, right? So they might be open to having friends from other ethnicities and demographics, but not so much for mates. That's just statistically a tendency. And so that dynamic might, of course, also be part of what potential dates are selected for you, right? And then, you know, there's been all this talk about, you know, Black women or Asian men being less successful. That's probably not going to improve much for them based on this logic, right?
Yeah. What about data and privacy, Raf? A lot of our listeners said when we posted about this news on our Instagram that they were really worried about what this could mean for their privacy and the implications there. What's your thoughts around that?
Obviously, you already give away a lot of sensitive information of yourself to participate in dating apps. That's the deal. Otherwise, you can't participate. You know, you have to put in some information about yourself there. But the potential for that information to somehow leak because your AI talks to somebody else's AI and then, you know, exchanges information about you and that's somehow ending up in the wrong hands is something that I would be concerned about. The initial risk is you have to put in a lot of sensitive information for it to work. The AI also has to be trained on large volumes of data to be effective, right? So it doesn't work without us all collectively giving away a lot of sensitive information. Most importantly, of course, by the dating platform. The dating platform will have a treasure chest of information about us all, which is very valuable to them, but it also imposes a huge responsibility on that custodianship that they have over our private data.
And a big part of AI backlash and conversations around whether or not this is great for our future is the environmental impact. What's your thoughts on what this could potentially mean in that space?
That is something that doesn't get talked about enough. The fact that AI requires huge data centers that are big consumers of water, electricity, and rare earth minerals in the midst of a climate crisis and in the middle of a country, Australia, that is expected to face significant water shortages in some of its bigger population centers. It just stuns me how we are nonetheless able to deploy large amounts of capital and resources into these AI models to keep them running. Now, that hasn't started with dating apps, but it's, of course, going to add to the demand if, in fact, it turns out that these systems would be widely adopted and widely used, then it's going to add additional strain on our grids and the environment as well.
Okay, well, what do you think the answer is, Raf? Like, everyone's so burnt out from dating apps. We know this. 93% of our listeners said they are having a shit time. We know there's low effort dating. People feel like nothing feels that intimate or genuine anymore. What do you think the answer is? Like, what should people do to find love?
So, to me, I think a lot of it has to do with self-knowledge and one's self-esteem and one's sense of self-worth, right? In order to be a good partner or a good asset on the dating market, if you will, you have to have some sort of self-worth and self-esteem, right? And here's where I actually think AI can be helpful. So what I see in my research with AI companions is that a lot of the benefit that people are getting out of these systems is that they learn more about themselves, right? They're talking to these chatbots, not necessarily to replace a human partner, but to figure out who they are and what they like. And I think that can be a good thing because once you figure that out, you're potentially more successful in finding a healthy relationship, right? It always starts with ourselves. Now, I don't want this to be interpreted as blaming the individual, because the reality is, even if you're like a very, you know, self-aware person, you're still in the market where a lot of people have been kind of primed on these optimizing for matches and hookup culture, right? So it's still going to be very difficult. So it's not the perfect solution. It's a start to start within, but we also need to figure out collectively, how do we build better systems? How do we move away from this platform business model, which is just everywhere, which is just all focused on intensity, engagement, extraction of data for the benefit of a few tech corporations to make a lot of money, right? I think that is a huge challenge for our society, and we need to figure out how to build better system. That's what my research and the research of my PhD students, Angelina and Zara, is focused on. It's a long-term challenge. We won't get there overnight, but it takes a generational shift. And I think it starts with realizing that these platforms actually have a collective responsibility towards all of us, especially vulnerable people, marginalized people, and that it's not the right way to extract data from us for profit, but to build technology to actually help people, to use technology to actually help people figure out who they are, to find better partners. That is possible, but it's a long way to get there.
I love that answer so much. And yeah, it's hard to not get existential when you think about, you know, the technology through years and years has kind of benefited the human race, right? Like, it's like we've found ways to do things easier, connect us more around the world, and technology has kind of been like this net positive. And now it's this area where it's like, okay, is this actually helping the human race? And
things can I say something?
Yeah.
It might actually be controversial. Not sure if you're going to air this, but I have a sense that this is actually a Western problem. I'm seeing from a lot of people I work with in non-Western context in Asia, and I'm actually planning to do a sabbatical in East Asia next year to learn more about their views on AI companionship and dating. I think this problem that technology is being used to exploit us and to benefit corporations, that is a uniquely Western phenomenon. In the East, in China, you see a lot of technology actually being used to help people. They're building train lines. They're building, you know, digital services and AI and regulating it in a way to benefit people, right? I think they've actually figured that out, and maybe we can learn something from them. That's why I'm hoping to do that sabbatical next year.
Oh, I hope you do. I hope you do and report back. That would be so interesting. But I guess that's such a difference between capitalist and communism, right? Like, that's so fascinating. I would love to hear your time there if that does happen. But Dr. Raff, this has been so interesting, and we'll have to stay in touch because I'd love to hear more about all the work you and your students are doing. It's so fascinating, and like we've been saying, we'll just keep growing. So there'll be lots to talk about.
I really enjoyed this chat. So thanks for having me, and I'm definitely keen to return at some point.